They get closer to 70 below zero the way things are going. Story is told of a lamb and its mother. It seems the lamb passed by a pig pen each morning on the way to the pasture with his mother. Watching the pigs wallow in the mud seemed like fun. And on an especially hot day, the lamb asked his mother if he could jump the fence and wallow in the cool mud. She replied, no. Then the lamb asked the usual question, why? The mother just said, sheep do not wallow. Well, that didn't satisfy the lamb. He felt she had put him down and exercised force when she shouldn't have. As soon as the mother was out of sight, the lamb ran into the pig pen and jumped the fence. He was soon feeling the cool mud in his feet, his legs, and soon his stomach. After a few moments, he decided he'd better go back to his mother, but he could not. He was stuck. Mud and wool do not mix. His future had become his prison. He was hopelessly bound by his own folly. He cried out and was rescued by the kind farmer. When cleansed and returned to the fold, his mother said, remember, sheep do not wallow. Sin is like that. It looks so nice. We can escape to it whenever we wish. And after a while, we just get out and cleanse ourselves up. But it's not so. Pleasures become our prisons. Christians must not wallow. We see here a lamb dissatisfied with his life. Seeing pigs wallow, he wanted to experience such worldly fun. Certainly, this little excursion wouldn't hurt me. I'll just jump in for a while, cool myself off, enjoy, roll myself around, get out and wash myself off, and I'll be just as good as new. But as soon as that white wool became sodden with the worldly filth, he cried out, recognizing his folly, and was returned to his proper position. Well, today we look at Satan's dim bulbs, promising great pleasures out there in the world, promising that they can do whatever they want and ignore the glaring light of the world, which is Jesus Christ. What are we here today? If it feels good, do it. Didn't God call his entire creation very good in Genesis 1? Well, if his entire creation is very good, that means we can enjoy whatever we want because we are his sons, right? Come to the very good, cool mud and enjoy the worldly dainties. The pigs say, look how much it's benefited me. But once you're in the mud, your focus changes, and Satan has you trapped in his lies. Let's look at today at pigs who call sheep to the mire and recognize our good shepherd versus the false under-shepherds of Satan and how to avoid his traps. So turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read from verses 10 through 22. So 2 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. A heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forgotten the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to return from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, we realize that Satan is not pleased with the fact that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. We realize that Satan is not pleased with God's eternal plan. We realize that he wants to receive the worship that we give to Jesus Christ. And so he gives us so many temptations, Lord. He gives us so many teachers promising so much liberty that's really license. So many fleshly desires that are really sin. And Lord, he causes people to come to the cross and then refuse it because they want the world instead. And he causes Christians to be confused and to try to have a foot in the world and a foot in the Bible, which does not work. Lord, let us have the wisdom to know the difference. Let us follow those who with a true heart preach your word and to follow nobody else. Let us understand your word explained to us by the Holy Spirit, and let us move forward in righteousness and in truth, avoiding those who would call us into the mud pits. We ask it in your precious Son's name. Amen. Now today, once again, just like last week, the verses start with a horrible word in context, but. What did he say last week? He said God knew how to deliver his own from unrighteousness and sin and reserve the day of judgment, unto the day of judgment, those who are unrighteous. But these mud-wallowing pigs are still there, trapping sheep as they mock and attack the strong for a lack of love, which is actually lust on their parts, calling their mud pit spiritually good as they ignore the beauty of Jesus Christ. These walk after the flesh and lust of uncleanness. Presumptuously, they call God a liar with some supposedly revealed new truth. Why? So they can trap sheep in Satan's mud pit. In or out of the church. Their way is the right way for a new age. If you don't believe it, you are just not modern enough to understand the new wisdom that we have found out, that have been revealed to us who know the truth. Those who disagree must be removed. Jude had something to say about these same people. Turn over to Jude, just a couple pages to Jude, verses 9 through 13. Notice who it starts with. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, beating themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These false teachers are their own authority. Nay, they're actually Satan's authority, as they think they have found worldly comfort in the filthy, cool mud pits of the world's filth. Mocking all authority, they promise a better way. Demanding liberty in non-essential areas. They receive victory over some non-essential. Get us to refuse some small doctrine of the world, which we don't think is that important, until eventually even the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself is a non-essential, as we saw last week. They will never give up. We might give in just a little bit, just to reduce the pressure, but it'll come right back, because they'll keep pushing and pushing and pushing until Jesus Christ is removed from his own church that he died for. They cheerfully bring up railing accusations against leaders to tear themselves down so they can lift each other up, not realizing that God has placed every single leader there for his own purposes. either for righteousness' sake or for judgment against hardened hearts. So when we can bring railing accusations against them, we're bringing railing accusations against God himself. Now, Michael did say, Lord, rebuke thee. We do need to point out error. We do need to hold them accountable. We do need to show them where they fall short of the glory of God. But we then do that, and we ask God to rebuke them that they may go to their knees and do the right thing. Now, Romans 16:17 says to mark and avoid those which cause divisions contrary to his doctrine. Those who demand liberty as they actually promote license. Those who promote compromise with the world so they can draw the world, making the world comfortable with their sin in their this church. I don't want people comfortable in this church. I want people extremely uncomfortable. I want people to look in the mirror, realize how far short they fall of God, go to God for forgiveness, and then be called back to him. That's what I want. They want people to be very comfortable where they're at, so more people will come and listen to them. They look like they have a truth, but they're actually a stench in God's nostrils. They demand people shun holiness because they call it legalism. They say they have a better way than the ancient text. Because we're in a modern world, right? Well, these better ones know. They didn't know anything about jet airplanes, things like that. We have a better way for today. These natural beasts are four things. They're worldly, greedy, empty, and lost. So worldly. The focus of the false prophet is his own well-being. Focusing on his fleshly desires and not serving Christ for a glorious future. Rioting in the daytime, they don't even try to hide their sin. But proclaim liberty to jump in the mud and wobble all you want. God will still accept you. So bold, they act as if they have all truth, and they mock anybody who will disagree with them. They bring a bad report to the church, hurting not only its reputation, but hurting its unity. They feast with themselves, calling themselves lambs. But in reality, they're wolves wearing sheep's clothing. Pigs who enjoy today's mud more than the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They deceive themselves, they'll mock you, and they deceive each other. For a following, for pride, for profits, or for position, or just because misery loves company. We're not really sure why they do it, but they do it. They are under Satan's control. Paul speaks of these in Philippians 3:18-19, saying that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their belly, their glory is their shame, and they mind earthly things. Don't follow these people, because their end is destruction. And if you follow them, you will be in the destruction that they offer. And Jude 18 adds that there will be mockers in the last time, walking after their own ungodly lusts. Listen to these sheep with pig's snouts, and you'll mock the truth, and you'll be trapped in Satan's mud forever. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They have eyes full of adultery, seeking to use members for their own fleshly desires rather than treating all people as fellow laborers of Jesus Christ. They are cursed children because they want what cursed children want. They want what they want right now without any thought of consequences for the future or of consequences for eternity. They are true brute beasts that God will destroy. Beasts, as they act exactly as animals act, satisfying the flesh with the same dead spirits that beasts have. But you know what? The most dangerous brute beast out there is not nearly as dangerous as these pig prophets. Because these pig prophets will draw people seeking the truth to their mud puddles so that they can never be converted. Beguiling unstable souls that do not have a proper foundation of Jesus Christ yet. They can also cause divisions in his church. Don't follow them. So they're worldly. Why are they worldly? They're often worldly because they're greedy. False prophets will also try to increase their own profits. TV preachers call people to send money to enrich them. I had Peter Popoff the other day. He happened to be on the TV, watch him sometimes for comic relief. Peter Popoff was talking about selling miracle water. You just buy this miracle water from me. I don't know how much it costs. Don't care. You buy this miracle water from me, and you're guaranteed to have money come in. It will make you rich. Now, he's right. It's made one person rich. It made Peter Popoff very rich. Give to these people with faith and believing. They say God will bless you with great money, and you'll be in that mud pit because you confuse the tithe with devotion to Jesus Christ, devotion to God, with getting something from God. That's not why we tithe. He promises great blessings, but he promises great blessings because we are realizing exactly why we do it. God has given us everything, and we're recognizing that by supporting his church that he died for. Now, make no mistake. If you give to Berea, God will bless you more than you can possibly know if you do so cheerfully. But it'll be done spiritually. He's not promising money. He's not promising great things. He promises that God will be with you, God will lead you, God will direct you. Nothing else. I have no miracle water up here. It would do you no good. Pray for yourself. Don't ask me to pray for a pillow to sell it to you. It won't work. God wants to hear your prayers. So you'll have joy in Christ, not great bank accounts, if you do that. Tithe to receive, you fall short of Luke 12:15. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. If you hear a pig prophet say, give to him so you can be rich like him, run as fast as you can away from that man. They will trap you in the mud as you try to prove your faith by a growing bank book instead of abiding in Christ and feeling his presence. What do they tell you? Larry, you're not rich yet. You know why? Because you haven't given enough to me and you have no faith. If you had more faith, you would have more. You give more to me, I'll pray for you, and you'll have that faith and you'll get it. Come on in the mud, it's fine. So we see the pig prophets as the descendants of Balaam. We'll be looking at Balaam a little closer this afternoon service, exactly what his problem was. As I told people in the men's prayer breakfast yesterday, it took me a long time to figure out Balaam because he did exactly what God told him to do, but did it in the wrong way. So we'll look at what that wrong way is this afternoon. But he talks about Balaam here. In Numbers 22 to 24, Balak of Moab sought Balaam to curse Israel. They saw Israel coming. They said, boy, this is a mighty people. I'm not sure we can beat them. Balaam is a soothsayer. And who he blesses gets blessed, who he curses gets cursed. I need his help. We need to defeat Israel. So he called Balaam to come and curse Israel. God would not let that happen. And by Balaam's words, by Balaam's action, he seemed like a true sheep, but he was actually a greedy wolf. He blessed Israel, but he received the mud's prophets by teaching Israel to take wives of Moab, worship their gods, and they were eventually destroyed in that way. Willing to receive funds, Balaam went to Balak. But God stopped him before he could do Balak's bidding. God stopped him, but we see Balaam's madness in going for prophets instead of being a true prophet. Turn it back to Numbers chapter 22, verses 27 to 35. Now, some things I look in the Bible, and it just caused me to cock my head. How could he do such a dumb thing? So 22, starting in verse 27. Chapter 22 of Numbers. Numbers, yes. Numbers chapter 22, starting at verse 27. You got it. So Numbers chapter 22, verse 27. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee, and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that shalt thou speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Talks about the madness of Balaam. Now think about this. Mary and I are going to go home this afternoon. Dog's sitting there. Dog's been sitting there all day. That's the contract we have for the dog. He knows that. He's the only one to throw the frisbee for him. But today, he's a little angry at us. The afternoon service went a little long. So I come home, and the dog comes and meets me and says, "George, why are you not here? I wanted the frisbee thrown an hour ago." "Well, you know better than that. Go back and sit in their cage." Wait a second. That dog just talked to me. How did that happen? If the dog talked to me, I'd be very confused. Balaam wasn't confused at all. He was so interested in receiving the money of compromise from Balak that when the ass talked to him, he didn't stop and say, "This is a weird one. This must be a miracle from God. I need to stop and listen to this." No, he smote the ass and started arguing with a donkey. So, if you get yourself so much stuck in the mud puddle, you can't see any kind of spiritual truth. God, in his grace, gave him a miracle to stop the madness of the prophet, and the prophet instead argued with the miracle. Today's prophets seeking prophets are every bit as mad. Seeing his word and twisting it for their own back pockets, they will be destroyed just as Balaam would. Their greed will not be rewarded. They may receive a jet, they may receive all the great things in this world, but they're going to pay for it in the next, more than I ever want to. So, we see they're greedy. Well, they're worldly, they're greedy, but they're empty. My job is to give living water to a world suffering great spiritual drought. Then, after the drought is stenched, continue bringing in living water so we can see growth in the leaky vessel I have, hoping that I get enough leaks filled in that water will be enough to produce unity in this church. I have no water of my own. The only water I have comes from right here. I'm not a pig prophet. I don't have any special revelation. I have nothing. God may reveal things in the scripture that will allow me to bring forth certain truths. He does that to me all the time. If he doesn't, you don't need to find a different pastor. But I have no water of my own, only the water that Christ gives me and tells me how to preach. The pig prophets, on the other hand, promise great spiritual growth by great fleshy delights given in this world. They use their great swelling words with just enough scripture out of context to draw people to their pleasing religions, their flesh-pleasing religions. Repent? You have no need to repent. God's love. He's going to accept everybody. Belief is all you need. God accepts you. And you know what? You're a king's kid. As a king's kid, your heavenly Father is going to give you everything he wants because he loves you so much. You ask for him, he has to give it to you. Promises in the Bible. Do that. Don't worry about anything else. Just understand that God loves you. I preach like that, I'll probably grow the church quite a bit. Physically. But we'll have no candlestick. We'll have no spirit because Jesus Christ would leave us. Every one of these people agree with Paul's words of 1 Corinthians 15:32. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Very biblical. Very spiritual, right? And he says that, he'll come back and they'll say, "What was he saying? Eat, drink, and be merry. Do everything you want in this life. Get everything you can. For tomorrow we die and we'll see Jesus Christ." Wonderful, right? They missed the second part of that, taken out of context. Those verses are a severe rebuke to those who disagreed with the resurrection. He was saying, if there's no resurrection, what is the point? Because if there's no resurrection, we're dead in our sins. If we're dead in our sins, we might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die and we'll go forever. Why am I wasting my time with so much persecutions? But taking and twisting it out there, it makes it look like Paul is saying, hey, just enjoy the fleshly desires, and God accepts you. And using these great swelling words of vanity, they show confidence in the flesh, and they draw others with itching ears to hear them what they want to hear. They are like a windstorm bringing clouds that appear to have water for a drought-stricken world. And what do they have? They look up. Now, if you're a farmer, I don't know if any of you have ever farmed before, but if you're a farmer, we rely on God's blessings. We rely on the truth of God's word, saying that he'll bring in the rain in season. We rely on these things. So you look out there, and I planted everything, but I'm looking at it, and we have drought. I might die. I might not get any crop, but you know what? I see a cloud. There's a cloud back there. It's dark. It's got lightning. It's got wind. Praise God. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to provide all the water I need. And these are what these great swelling words promise. But at the end, they have the thunder. They have the wind. They have definitely the darkness. But they have no water. All they do is blow some dust around and disappear, leaving the earth as dry as it always was. With his word, on the other hand, we can go into his wells and bathe in his living water, being close to God, growing with him. The pig prophets have very impressive wells. Worldly, they look better than ours. They have these great edifices. They're showing their great truths. Come to the wells, and you'd be amazed what you could get from us. I would be too. If they drop a bucket down in those wells, they're going to come up with a bucket of sand. They have no water for the drought-stricken world. Only promises of great things that never come. The only part they have in everything they have is the darkness of dark clouds. So, they're empty. They have no living water. Because they're empty, they are lost. Romans 6:16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." The gospel shows the beauty of Christ. Believe it? You are a child of God. You are someone who is a slave unto righteousness and have his joy because he is leading you in all things. And he promises those things in his word. The pig prophets promised license to sin. Hit service makes you a slave to sin and a child of hell. So now we deal with pig prophets and their followers. Both cleanse the outsides, but they're not converted. Seeing and drawn to the beauty of Jesus Christ, fellowshipping with the joint heirs of Jesus Christ, but not yet fully accepting the gospel to become true sheep. Now, in this church, we want to have pigs and wolves come in that are willing to listen, to be converted. Because that's how God grows his church. To see the miracle of salvation. To see people with hearts of stone give hearts of flesh, become drawn to the beauty of Jesus Christ, become saved. We want those people in here. But the problem is they need to hear the truth. They need to have the living water, not the pig prophet's muddy water. Now remember 1 Corinthians 3:6 said in part, "I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase." People do not always get converted the first time they hear the gospel. In fact, they very seldom do. Trying to understand, they come in, they hear it, now they hear someone saying, "You know what? God loves you so much. What that pastor said is true. 100% true. God's love. God will save you. He went to the cross to die for you. And you know what? He loves you so much. You see how much he loves you, and you see how valuable you are? The great God of the universe died for you. Listen, do you realize how important you are? He died for you individually. And if he died for you individually, is he not going to give you anything you want? Is he not going to make everything that you want today happen? We've seen his love for you. Now, if someone who has not been converted yet, not understanding the gospel, not understanding its spiritual blessings, hears that, they may be drawn to it. They may be pulled off that foundation of the rock of Christ and thrown onto the foundation of worldly sand. And they will refuse the truth for a damnable heresy. Pig prophets will then leave the church when it suits them, finding more opportunity in the world by mocking fundamentalists, returning to the pig pen while they claim they have God's blessings. Former fundamentalists make a name for themselves and give seekers an excuse to remain in the world while thinking they're accepted to God's love. At the same time, some stuck in the mud may sneak a way out, seeing the hope we have and drawn to it. They're sinners, they're pigs, they're in there. They have no hope yet, but they look at the beauty of Jesus Christ. Seeing a better way, but not yet convinced, they'll come into the church. They've cleansed themselves off. They're clean. They are not covered with the filth of the world because they're trying to clean their life up, trying to understand who this Jesus Christ is, because they want the same joy that we have in the church. But they still are stuck with the idea that they want their flesh to improve. Once again, the prophets will show them that way, and they'll be pulled back. A damnable heresy, but strong and convincing words to the unconverted that you can remain in your sin and God will still love you. There is no reason to repent. They return to the mud, yielding themselves to sin, and never again cry out, convinced of their sin, as they wallow in the pig prophet's way right to hell. His way is now worse, as he sees his sin as righteousness. He sees his sin as someone that Jesus Christ accepts, and he sees his sin as something that does not need to be repented of and asked forgiveness of. And he cannot be saved at that point. His way is worse than before, because if he thinks he's righteous, why bother trying to become righteous? If you're not lost, you can't be found. And these people don't think they're lost anymore. Verse 22 is a reference to Proverbs 26:11 and also a Jewish proverb. The dog misses his vomit and will return to its filth unless he's turned into a lamb. It's what a dog does naturally. It's not what a sheep does naturally. If you're converted to a sheep, he will leave that filth behind him. But the dog never became a sheep. The dog never becoming a sheep goes back to what the dog does. Same with a pig. You know, take a pig, clean him off, wash him. He looks like a very, very nice animal. Let him go. What is he going to do? He's going to run right back into that mud puddle. It's what a pig does. These verses are sometimes used to prove that you can lose salvation. But these verses do not do that at all. These are people who came into the church, looking at the church, being drawn to the beauty of Jesus Christ. And they come in and see the beauty of Jesus Christ. They try to follow the way, trying to understand exactly what they need to do. And somewhere along the line, not becoming a sheep, they go back to what they were. It doesn't say the dog became a sheep and then went back to a dog, back to his vomit. No, it says the dog went back to his vomit. He never got converted. The pig didn't become a sheep and then become a pig again. The pig came in, saw the beauty of Christ, but went back to wallow in his mud. Those are the people they're talking about, and if that happens, their way is far worse than before. Don't let it happen. It's one reason in this church we have to make sure that people only bring forth the truth of the gospel and not some damnable heresy to draw people away. If I allow that to happen, I will be having a long conversation with Jesus Christ when I am judged for my stewardship of this church. So, we see here why it is so important to be Bereans. Comparing every teaching out there, everyone, wherever you see it, whatever pastor you listen to, whatever book you read, you need to compare it with this book. You need to compare it, then search the Scriptures daily to see if the things they are saying are so. Not avoiding the failing in the pig prophets' traps. Ensuring their damnable heresies do not come into the church and you don't listen to them. Thereby protecting babes in Christ and those not yet lambs. That's one reason I'm skeptical of TV preachers. We don't know all the doctrines they have. We'll see this afternoon that if you listen to Balaam when he was saying what he was saying, man, that is a man of God if I've ever heard one. But he had the wrong ideas. So, you're looking at the people on TV, wherever you see them. They look good. They sound good. They know the doctrines. Here's the question you've got to ask yourself. And I can't answer the question. We need to look at them. Are they seeking converts for Christ or followers for self? If we're seeking converts for Christ and it's working, praise God. But if we're seeking followers for self, they're just like the pig prophets. They're just like Balaam. Do they compromise his word for converts to hell? Do they have living water or great wells of sand? Sheep do not wallow. But you know what? The mud looks so cool, so inviting, so smooth. Why not just indulge just a little bit? What harm could possibly come of it? But if you fall into it, you'll find out why sheep do not wallow. A sheep's converted body cannot live in mud as sheep get trapped with the heavy worldly mud on their righteous wool. But the problem is, does the sheep understand its predicament? If the sheep takes its vision off of Christ and puts it on the world and see what's going on, will he recognize his predicament? That young sheep we read about in the beginning recognized his position, the predicament. He got in and knew I was trapped. I don't want to be here. Mom was right. Help! Well, if you find yourself there, do exactly that. Pray and ask God to get you out of the predicament you've put yourself in, and he will do it. If you don't, you're going to stay in that mud forevermore. You'll still be saved if you're saved as a sheep, but you'll never grow. You won't come to the righteousness of Christ. You'll stay there, and you won't receive the words God talked about. If you are here seeking righteousness as an unconverted swine, listen to those teaching how to glorify Christ, leading you to become a converted sheep. Now, make no mistake, every single one of us here were unconverted swine. There's not one of us here who wasn't. So it's not the people who are saying they're better than you. It's people showing you the way that Jesus Christ will convert you. I save absolutely nobody. I convert absolutely nobody. All I can do is show you the right way. I have no truth. I'm not like those people. I don't have great swelling words of great wisdom. I have no wisdom. All I have is his wisdom. So that's what you need to do. If you hear, look to people who look at this book, not on their own brilliant ideas. You do not need to come to church if you want to be comfortable in your sins. The world will allow you to do that. You come to see the difference that a converted sheep has over an unconverted swine or an unconverted wolf. Now, on the other hand, if you're a sheep, you've jumped the fence, you've landed in that mud, you recognize it, Cry out even if you're embarrassed. Now, the Bible is full of absolute failures. Every saint in here is an absolute failure. They've all jumped in the mud somewhere along the line. If you've done that, ask God to pull you out. He will come. He will find you. He will take you. He will wash you off, and he will return you to righteousness. Get out of there, because he's the kindly farmer they talked about there in the beginning. He's actually the good shepherd looking for you if you're lost. Cry out to him. He will come. Do not be satisfied in the world's mud pit. As you look at your wool, you'll recognize, I don't belong here. The big prophets promised God's blessing to a dry world. But despite the fancy wells and the powerful dark clouds, they have no living water, and they can only provide darkness. Do not follow the worldly, greedy, empty, and lost prophets. Seek only those who speak the truth, found in Christ, and bring his living water with his own worldly, his wisdom to bear, not the worldly wisdom of them. We must worship Christ and him crucified, not try to get what we can get from him to enjoy the cool mud. With that, let's think about what we need to do. Turn to him that needs me. Then his word, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do with anybody who's teaching, preaching, or anyone else. Are they following Jesus Christ, or are they following their own brilliant ideas in the world today to try to make a name for themselves? I don't want a name for myself. I want to glorify Jesus Christ. Anybody out there should be saying the same thing if you're following them. A lot of people out there know the Bible better than I do. And praise God for it. And if they're preaching the truth, praise God, listen to them. But if they're doing it to get a following for themselves, they're a pig prophet trying to compromise with the world. Don't follow them. Make sure they stay on the truth here. So, a couple questions for you today. First of all, are you a converted sheep? If you're a converted sheep, praise God. Then try to get as much truth as you can, listening to the Word, improving me by the Word when I preach, studying the Word so you can become better and teach others to do the same thing, and recognize false prophets, pig prophets that come in. Are you an unconverted swine? There's shame in that because all of us have shame that we've fallen short of the glory of God. But if you're an unconverted swine today, I was too, and everyone else was here. You've come here because you saw something different and you wanted to have what we have as joy in Christ. Come today and I'll show you exactly how to do that. Not my way, it's the Bible's way. I told you, I have no wisdom, but we have the creator of the universe that gave us exactly that. And if you're here and you're just wondering, how do I get better? How do I do more? How do I follow him better? We talked about today, pray for God for wisdom. Pray God how he will use you to make sure that his church grows. And we'll go to prayer after Rich plays a verse. We'll close, and I need to call Tim up here. We have someone who wants to join us in protecting this church against the mud puddles of this world. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the love of Jesus Christ. We're so thankful for the wisdom shown in your word that is every bit as applicable the day was written as it is today. We're thankful because it is the eternal word of the creator of this universe. And we know we can trust in it because the creator of the universe is the one who wrote it. And Lord, I pray that its wisdom would come through. Its wisdom would be shown in the hearts of everybody here. Its wisdom would make us grow, unify, and keep out the wolves that want to destroy our joy, that want to take us back to the world and hearken to the world's wisdom, which is not wisdom but foolishness. Lord, they say great swelling words. They sound so impressive. They are very, very confident. Lord, let us not fall for those traps because Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. But give us the wisdom from your word. Give us the bright light of your word that we may see the folly of their ways, that we may see the folly of our own ways as we try to compromise with the world, Lord. Let us stay separate from it, and let us serve you in spirit and in truth. If there's anybody here today who's not saved, Lord, let the day be the day of salvation. Let the day be the day that they come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and experience the joy we all have. We ask all of us, your precious Son's their name. Amen. Have you